Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I'm your host this week, Tim Keller. I have Justin McCaslin with me. And we brought in one of our writers from the website. You might all know him as at Commish McGriff on Twitter, but this is Matt McGriffith. How are you doing today, Matt? You're joining us all the way from California. How is it?
Yes, sir. Sun's still shining, but I'm great, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to it, so I'm excited for it.
Happy to have you, man.
Justin, how about you? How's your week?
Dude, it's been a tough week. My kids both got sick, and it's just been... You know, having to have my mom drive up and watch the kids and taking a couple few days off myself. It's been a rough week, but they're on the upswing on it. The weekend's gone well, had a good Father's Day. So really can't complain. All in all, it's been all right.
That's good. I missed last week's show. I was out in the woods camping with we actually took everybody. We took a whole crew. We had my two daughters, my two nieces, my nephew, and of course, I dragged the wife along. And I'll tell you what, do not ever attempt to take five small children fishing. I love to fish. I find it relaxing. I find it enjoyable. By the time I got everybody set up, got them cast out, just long enough for me to make one cast, and it's, hey, Uncle Tim, hey, Dad, hey, this. And it's just me running around between five kids back and forth.
No, you don't.
All day
long.
You don't
go fishing with children. You take children fishing.
Yes.
Yeah. I learned this, you know, last summer whenever I took my kids to Colorado. Like, it's just you're either fixing bait, unhooking lines that are caught,
snags,
or casting for the younger ones. Yeah. You might as well not even take a pole for yourself because there's just not much time.
Well, bless my wife's heart. She, you know, rounded up all the kids towards the end, and she gave me about 20-30 minutes where I just got to sit there. I sat down on the bank and I just cast and slowly reeled it in.
Yeah. Don't even care about catching
It didn't even matter if I caught anything at that point. It's just, I'm going to get to breathe, stare out at the water, and just relax. And it was very nice.
Yep.
I appreciate it very much. So maybe that was like an early Father's Day gift, but yeah. So speaking of Father's Day, we kind of came up with a topic. We're going to talk about some veteran players, some older veteran players, 28 and above, the fathers of the NFL league, the fathers of fantasy scoring, and see who some of these older guys are that we are still interested in, that we're still looking to buy in our leagues, and kind of give you an idea of who we're looking at when it comes to those 2-3 year rental type players. Just wanted to say thank you to Trophy Smack for being our sponsor this week. Great trophies, great championship rings, and of course the championship belts. Go over there, check them out. Use the code DHHRING at checkout when you buy yourself a trophy or a belt and get yourself that free $60 championship ring. They are very impressive, outstanding product. Also, the Sitter Start app, obviously, they've been with us from the start. Great, great things over there. They're linking up with us on the website. You'll be able to use that tool right at our website, along with all the great functions that are being added to the website as well. So check out Sitter Start app on the Google Play Store and iTunes. as well as on the Dynasty Happy Hour website. So, guys, let's get into this. Let's talk about some of the older players in the NFL that we're still looking to buy. So, Matt, I'm going to let you go first, being the guest. Who is your first guy on your list of a guy above 28 or above, I should say, that you still have interest in buying?
Well, it's funny, man. I was running through this list and looking through ADP through DLF and just writing down some of the guys over 28. There are a ton of quarterbacks and receivers that I would be willing to buy right now. Obviously, your running backs post 28 get a little slim, but can we just, you know, crown the dad, the Father's Day crown to Mr. Phillip Rivers himself? Mm-hmm. Right? I figured you guys would be on this. I mean, if anyone else epitomizes dad more than Rivers, but I love him anyways. I'm a West Coast guy, although I'm a Raider fan and I'm not supposed to like Phillip Rivers. He's probably one of my favorite players. Yes, he's 37. Yes, he's up there. He is competitive as anyone else in the league. I could see him playing for a handful more years. He's cheap in single quarterback leagues. He's 199 overall ADP. That's cheap for a guy who's more than likely going to be top 10 in scoring from the quarterback side. And he's one of those guys you like to root for, man. So I'm definitely throwing a dart or trying to acquire Phillip Rivers right now, especially when I'm a contender.
Absolutely. My favorite thing about Phillip Rivers is if you watched young Phillip Rivers and you saw him on the sidelines in a close game and the defense lets up a big play, they'd cut to Phillip Rivers on the sideline and it looks like he's going to set the entire stadium on fire. As he's grown and matured, he's learned to hide that. He's got that poker face now, but you know, still inside in the back of his head, he's like, I'm going to murder everybody. Just give me the ball one more time and I'm going to go put these daggers in these hearts. I love that about Phillip Rivers. He's the ultimate competitor. He'll step on his mom to win a football game. I love it. I love it.
You know, I don't know if it's the bolo tie or what, but he just reminds me of that old cowboy that just goes out. He does not play by anyone else's rules.
Yeah.
He's going to go out and just do what it takes to get it done. The funny thing is no one really talks about Phillip Rivers as a target, but we like all of his pieces, you know, and we talk about that a lot of times with players is if we like the whole offense, you should like the quarterback because everything's going to run through that quarterback. And so I completely agree with Phillip Rivers. I mean, looking at the quarterbacks here, that is where, I mean, the bread and butter of over 28 really is, because that's where, honestly, their prime years are for most of them. So, I mean, outside of the handful of new blood that we've had recently, you've got the old guard. I really like Matt Ryan as a guy. He's perennially underrated as a quarterback. People are always like, I really don't want him. But, man, he's got one of the most electric groups of skill position players. And he's only 34 years old. And in quarterback years, that's not bad considering we're talking about Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger at 37, Brees at 40, you know. And so Matt Ryan's ADP is 123. So a little bit more rich than Phillip Rivers, but you're also getting one of the guys who consistently puts up massive yardage games. And so he's a target I have when we're still talking about quarterbacks. We can get some skill position players here in a minute.
And you got to love Matt Ryan's weapons, right? I mean, Julio, elite. Calvin Ridley is fantastic. They did that side-by-side with the Browns' offensive weapons for Baker and the Falcons' offensive weapons for Ryan. It's a coin flip at that point. So, yeah, everyone's paying top-notch, you know, ultimate price for Baker right now. But go get you Matt Ryan for significantly cheaper and plug him in for the next 6 years or so.
And we saw Hooper really step up last year, finally start to break out. Devonta Freeman, if he's healthy, they've done about as much as you could possibly do to try to bolster an offensive line in one offseason that the Falcons have. They're healthy again on defense. So that Falcons team shouldn't be in as bad of a situation as they were last year. And it's going to give that offense some new life, I think. And Matt Ryan is back with the offensive coordinator he's familiar with. It's not going to be, you know, most of the time when a quarterback, especially an older quarterback, gets a new OC, there's that learning curve. They have a little bit of a dip. I don't think we're going to see that from Matt Ryan this time. So Justin said it. I'm going into the skill position guys. And this guy turned 31 in July, and he was injured last year. But weeks 1 through 9 in PPR scoring, he was wide receiver 11 with 16.82 fantasy points per week. And that's Mr. AJ Green. I think that people look at AJ Green as, you know, that second fiddle type of, you know, the wide receivers in his age group to the Antonio Browns and things like that. But AJ Green has just been year in and year out. He's just consistent. And if it wasn't for the injury last year, I think AJ Green would have been a top 10 wide receiver again last year. So I like AJ Green at 31. I would use that as a almost a selling tactic or buying tactic. I would go to the owner of AJ Green, say, hey, look, you know, 31 years old, especially if you're in that championship type window, you can get a piece in AJ Green for 2-3 years. That's still going to, you know, he's going to solidify your wide receiver core as an absolute stud, as an absolute every week starter for you. And he can, you know, you might not ride him necessarily to the title, but he's going to be one of the pieces that definitely get you there. That's for sure.
He's someone I've kind of stayed away from. His injuries have made me more nervous than other players. I'm a little bit nervous that they're going to reload starting next year. I do think that that is another reason why you could go after him, because people are probably going to think like me. You know, you'll get that injury discount on top of the age discount. So if you're willing to take the risk, if your team's just that close and you can get him for a decent price, I can see, yeah, absolutely going after him.
The thing I like about it too is if you go by him, he's not going to be your wide receiver 1, 2, maybe even 3. He could be a flex play for you at this point in time. And, you know, he is getting discredited left and right. And part of that too is, I guess he gets the Dalton effect a little bit, but he's been elite. He still is elite. I see a lot of polls I get thrown out there on Twitter, like AJ, or, you know, it'll be some unproven second year guy or whatever. And it's, man, give me the elite proven asset all day, every day. I don't care if he's 31 or not.
All right, Matt, back to you. Who else do you got on your list?
So another, not in the same breath, but former teammate of AJ Green, and that's Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones, 29 now. He was injured last year. I like Marvin Jones. I've always been a fan of his. 2 years ago, he put up 1,009 touchdowns. I also don't love Kenny Golladay as much as I think maybe the general population, but Marvin Jones is he's a baller. He plays hard. He does well. That offense is generally a pass happy offense, although we're hearing a lot of grumblings about them being a run first offense. But either way, I think he could easily be a high end wide receiver too. If not, if he's a low end wide receiver too, he's a cheap, cheap buy right now. He's a great receiver. He's a great asset to that team. Matt Stafford's going to throw the ball a ton, even though he had a down year as well, but it makes even more the reason to buy him cheaper than you would have last year at this time. So I'm a big Marvin Jones fan, and I'm trying to get him anywhere I can right now as well.
I like it. I'm one of those that is on the Kenny Golladay bandwagon over Marvin Jones. But yeah, over his career, Marvin Jones has been a steady and rock solid play for fantasy players. And again, if you get him at the right price because of Kenny Galladay's spike in value that we've seen this past year and a half about, Marvin Jones has had the dip because of that. So if you're getting him at a discounted rate, at a pretty deep discounted rate at this point, he could definitely be that guy that, like Mike said earlier, or I'm sorry, Matt said earlier, you could get him and, you know, plug him in as your flex type player, and he's going to score you points. Justin, you got another one for us?
Yeah. So I know this is a little bit high, a little bit pricey, but a guy that kind of gets some slander is Julio Jones. And I know this is, you know, we're getting into the kind of elite players, and this one is one that I would try and go out and do a package for, you know, not going to try and trade a one for one with most of the players around him, but see if you couldn't package up some hope, you know, and move him to a guy who's maybe holding him and needs to rebuild or something like that. But I think that, you know, we're talking about a guy who's the touchdowns actually showed up for last year. You know, looking at it, he had 8 touchdowns, and that's not been his, he had a couple years where it was a little low. I mean, but he put up 1600 yards. The dude's a reception monster, 113 receptions last year. He has not slowed down, but the dude's 30 years old. He's crested 30. Oh my gosh. Everybody's going to freak the heck out. And so, there will be a time again in the near future where, you know, he drops in value slightly. I mean, his value drops are, you know, 4 to 10 positions. Not even that. I mean, it's pretty small swings, but I think that his ADP is not where his purchase price in a trade is, if that makes sense. So package up a decent little package and go out and get an elite player in Julio Jones.
I like it. Yeah, and like you said, his biggest knock for years and years was the touchdowns, and to finally see him start to get those last year was a good thing. So I'm hoping that continues for Julio. If anybody deserves that sort of praise and that sort of recognition, it is Julio. That's for sure. So the next guy on my list, this is kind of like a two-part. I'm going to talk about Mark Ingram, who's going to be 30 in December. He went to the Baltimore Ravens. I have to expect that the Ravens are just going to pound the ball over and over and over again, with Ingram leading that rushing attack. And then also Latavius Murray took Mark's spot down in New Orleans, who's going to – he turned 29 in January. Now, obviously, we're talking about guys on two different tiers here, a couple different tiers probably in between. But I love Mark Ingram, because outside of that New Orleans offense, a lot of people just went, oop, there is all his value. But I think he's going to see more touches than he has in the past few seasons there in Baltimore. And Latavius Murray might not see as many touches as Mark Ingram did down in New Orleans, but you have to suspect that New Orleans offense is going to get him in some premier and plus type situations. So I like both of those guys at the running back position as elder statesmen in the league.
I'm all in on Mark Ingram. I think he didn't have a terrific 2018 season, and at the tail end of that season was definitely a dip, which makes him a little bit more attainable, but I think you hit the nail on the head. The Ravens have to run the ball, I don't know, 35 times a game. Seeing like 30 to 35 times a game. I think Lamar will have some called runs. I think they'll utilize Justice Hill a little bit, but I wouldn't expect anything less than 15 to 20 touches a game from Mark Ingram, and that's more than what he was getting in New Orleans, so I love that. I paid a late first for him in a league, and I was extremely happy with that. I'm a contender in that league, and I do that all day long, so that's a great pick.
Well, after his suspension last year, he was RB21 in PPR scoring, so and that's, like Matt said, that's on limited touches down in New Orleans. I believe he's going to be not necessarily a bell cow, because I'm right there with you. I think that Justice Hill's definitely going to see the field and definitely going to see work, but I think that Mark Ingram's going to be the lion's share holder of this ground attack for the Ravens this year. So, Matt, we'll go back to you. Who is next on your elder statesman list?
I guess we'll stick with the running backs, and this one is more of a in hopes of some opportunity. I'm going to try and take a dart throw at Shady McCoy, and I know that's probably contrary to what most people are saying to do or not, but I'm almost hoping that he gets cut. I'm almost hoping that he goes and signs somewhere else. And then my plan would be to turn around and sell him immediately after signing with the new team, and just hoping I can get a little bit of return on investment on purchasing now for, you know, the lowest he's ever been, and then turning around and flipping him. So that's a definitely like crossing your fingers and hoping for the best there. But, I don't know. If he stays in Buffalo, he's probably going to start, but I don't know what you're expecting there. So that I would only be saying pick up Shady if you could hope that he gets cut and then flipped and sell him as soon as he signs somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally out on Shady after what he did with Endgame. He's dead to me. So I didn't see it, but I heard about it. And anybody that would ruin a movie like that so egregiously is he's dead to me. So moving on. So a guy, I guess I'm just going to stick with the Falcons right now, but a guy that I find completely underrated that nobody talks about, and he can be had for virtually free, is Mohamed Sanu. He is 29. He will be 30 entering the season in August. He put up 838 yards, 4 touchdowns on 66 receptions this year. A great flex play. And had some big weeks, especially towards the end. And it's one of those things, like, if you're looking for a guy to fill in for virtually nothing, and he had, let's see, 8 games over the 17-game stretch where he scored in the double digits. And so for a flex guy, I really like that. So that's more than I can ask for. And his ADP, oh my gosh, his ADP is 236. Surely you can get him for a fourth or something of the like. Like, that's dirt cheap for flex play that's got that kind of weekly upside.
100%. I mean, he scored higher than Mike Williams, D.D. Westbrook, D.J. Moore, you know, all those guys last year. So, yeah, that's a great one. That is a dart throw. I'll go in with a dart throw of my own. And as long as this guy is healthy, he's going to score for you. There's, what, like 17 running backs in Washington, but Chris Thompson, injured again last year, but through weeks 1 through 3, he was RB9 in PPR scoring. So Washington knows how to use him, knows how to get in the ball in space. It's just a matter of him staying healthy. He's going to be 29 in October, but as long as Chris Thompson's healthy, he's scoring you fantasy points, and that's what wins you games. And this is a guy that there might be one other person in your league that still has some value, you know, attached to Chris Thompson. Almost nobody else does. I would just go to the Chris Thompson owner, see if you can't get him for a, you know, a third round pick. And you know, you're getting him for next to nothing, and just have him there on your team. And if he's healthy, he's going to score you points, and you can plug him in. He's at least a flex option. He's not, you know, he's probably not going to be an every week flex for you, but he's at least an option there. He's a startable option for you. It just gives you lineup options when you're setting your rosters each and every week. So I'm taking a dart throw, a very cheap dart throw, in my opinion, on Chris Thompson.
Yeah, I like that. I think he's 2 or 3 years removed from like an RB13 season, if I remember that right.
Yep.
He gets banged up, but when he's healthy and he's in, he's always incorporating the offense. And like you said, extremely late dart throw, easy to acquire. You got to like that.
Yep. All right, Matt, back to you.
I was talking about this guy the other day, and Golden Tate is somebody who, if I'm contending, and I know it sounds gross, but I keep thinking how everyone used to hate Jarvis Landry and go, oh, you're going to get 7 for 70 every week. But if it's a PPR league and if you're contending, you can get Golden Tate cheap right now. He's a better receiver, in my opinion, than Sterling Shepard. Yes, he's linked to Eli. Not great, and who knows what that looks like for the long haul. But if you're a contender, you can get Golden Tate, who's proven really good producing fantasy receiver for the last 8 years, I guess it's been. He's 30 years old. He feels like he's older than that. He's been around for a long time. We've been talking about him, but he's only 30. He could easily play. He's got the body type. He could play for a handful more years, and he's really, really cheap. I mean, you can get him for really cheap, and if you're contending, that's a great guy you want in your flex spot, wide receiver 4 or something like that. I'd be completely okay starting him there.
Yep.
Okay. Back to me for the next guy. This is one of those players that is just perennially another one that's underrated all the time. And he puts up just running back 2 numbers every single year, and that's Lamar Miller. He is 28 years old, and for the past, 5 seasons, he's put up at least 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns every single season. And we came into the draft thinking, oh, here we go. Lamar Miller's going to get replaced again. And guess what? He didn't. So that job is on stranglehold for him for one more season at least, in an offense that is electric. There's going to be a lot of touchdowns scored. I mean, I like the guy. And for a second round pick, which you could, you know, might even be able to package up something that's worth less than that if someone's just looking to get rid of him. He's another one. He's just so underappreciated, and all he does is put up points for you.
Yeah, he was an RB2 again last year in PPR scoring. So, yeah, if you can get an RB2 that, as Justin outlined, I'm not necessarily afraid of anybody else there in the Houston backfield. And
not at all.
For years, people called Frank Gore the fantasy cockroach, like he just won't die. And that's just because of his age. But Lamar Miller is like the Teflon Don. This guy just can't be taken out. Like, they just refuse to try to bring any. Miami didn't do it. Houston's not doing it. They refuse. He's just good enough. Like he is just above average enough that they're like, we can get by one more year without having to draft a running back. Let's build another position on our team, and we'll go after running back the next year. And then that next season, he does just enough for them to, you know, keep going like that. So, congratulations, Lamar Miller. You're never going to die.
And, you know, the team has to just be going, you know, running back, man, it's just such a replaceable position. But, I mean, this guy's not costing us that much. He's going out.
And he's
still producing.
He's okay, right?
He's
all right.
He's not injured like the guys behind him. Like, that's another thing. Lamar Miller's never injured. You never hear about, oh, Lamar Miller's out for another game. He's just plug and play.
Yep. 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 He definitely is.
Utilize all those Donta Foreman camp videos or, you know, Instagram videos to your advantage and go get Lamar Miller saying, you know, Donta Foreman's taking his job. But yeah, that hype train will never die. I feel like it could be an Achilles or whatever. So. I don't know. He's running around dodging trash cans or whatever he's doing in those. But, yeah, go pick up Lamar Miller, man. It's great.
You know what's crazy is that – I know this is a little bit of a sidebar, but Samaje Perine and Deontay Foreman were the two guys that were being compared a lot in their draft class. And because of injury, everybody's holding on to the hope of Deontay Foreman. And because Samaje Perine had opportunity in what was a egregiously bad offense – and didn't do much with it. You know, he's on waiver wires. And Donta Foreman is still being traded as hope. So why don't you just go out there and trade Donta Foreman to the Lamar Miller owner for Lamar Miller and see if you can't. I mean, if you could do that one for one, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Foreman in a third even.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Like, that is a steal of a strategy.
Yeah. Be like, hey, look, I'll trade you the future starter for the guy that he's going to take, you know, the place of here in a couple of months.
And you'd be like, hey, you know what? This could work out really well for you. Like, he could take over. Look at this. His, like,
send him a little five-second video.
Or you don't even have to do that. Like, I know that's so annoying when people do that. I don't want to be told, like, this is what you should do in a trade. But you could go and, you know, retweet a couple Deontay Foreman videos and be like, oh, look at here, and be part of the hype.
Yeah. Sell him on the hype.
It's all strategy. It's all good. It's part of the game.
So I'm going to take the reverse angle on that. You got a guy coming off a scary shoulder injury. He turned 30 in May. That's Mr. Cam Newton. He was QB12 despite the injury last year. Still QB12. And we've seen this guy have an MVP-type season. So if you have an owner in the league that has Cam Newton on his team, go to him and be like, man, that shoulder, it could turn out to be bad.
Oh, they drafted Will Greer.
From what I'm hearing, Cam will be, he's ready to throw now. I think they're going to take it easy, take their time with him. But it seems like Cam's on the right track to recovery. So possibly last chance. Try to go get Cam Newton now before, you know, it comes out that he's ripping them down the field. And supposedly he's got new mechanics. I'll, you know, bite my tongue kind of on that until I see it myself. But until I see him actually using his lower body to help him throw the football and not just slingshotting with his shoulder and arm every damn pass down the field and being Mr. Inaccurate, I'd love for Cam to get new mechanics, honestly. I mean, A, he'd be more accurate. B, it would take less wear and tear off his shoulder and elbow, and hopefully he'd be able to last a little bit longer. But, yeah, you got a guy who could potentially, if everything breaks right, he runs four or five touchdowns in throughout the season. He really starts to connect with Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. We could see this guy be, you know, in the top three QBs pretty easily, actually. So you get this guy on a discount right now. You could try to throw the age in there. I think, obviously, for the quarterback position, age is not the factor that it is for every other position in the game, but you could try to throw that out there. I mean, yeah, he's 30 years old already, shoulder surgery. You never know.
This is a perfect example of buying low. And, you know, I was one selling Cam about a year and a half, 2 years ago, everywhere. I was trying to get ahead of it, selling for maximum value. But, and I've been on record to say, like, I'm a little nervous about the whole thing, but the way his value is now, I'm 100% buying. I'm seeing him get dropped and, you know, being in startups being selected as like quarterback 15 to 20 range and stuff like that. And that just blows my mind. So, people are scared. I'm definitely buying at that price, and he is the easiest you're ever going to get him. So yeah, a couple years ago was the time to sell. Now's the time to buy.
All right, Matt, back to you.
We haven't touched on any tight ends yet, and the tight end, you know, they get gross after the top three, maybe five. And, you know, Kelsey 29, Ertz is 28, but they're still the primo guys. The one I'm starting to like more and more is Vance McDonald. He's 29 years old. His ADP is 141 in the regular, no tight end premium, but regular ADP is 141. Maybe he's a late bloomer, but he looked really good last year. There's no AB. There's no Lev. Juju's not going to do it all. Everyone's got their hopes on, you know, putting their chips on either James Washington or Dante Moncrief, one of those guys. But why couldn't it be Vance McDonald just eating up targets in the middle of the field and stiff-arming his way to a top eight season, possibly? Top seven? I wouldn't be surprised at all. So he gets forgotten about all the time, and I think that's a good buy right now for one of these dads.
I think you mentioned something that is going to be a huge benefit for him, and that's the increase in receptions. So last year he had 50 receptions, 610 yards on four touchdowns, let's see, on 73 targets. So his reception rate wasn't as good as someone like you could directly compare him to another guy who's over 28, and that's Kyle Rudolph, who just got a new contract. So the time to buy Rudolph is past. I think his ADP is shooting back up. Because Irv Smith's not replacing him. You know, he had 64 receptions on 634 yards. So we're talking about two guys that are, I mean, very close. So you might go after either one of these guys and see who you could get cheaper. But I could absolutely see Vance McDonald increasing on his receptions. And if he maintains that kind of efficiency, then yeah, absolutely. We could see a top eight tight end position finish for him or better, because you're absolutely right. There's a lot of vacated targets with AB gone, and Juju is going to beast, but he can't do it all.
Yep. Yep. All right, Justin, who you got next?
You know, I was going to say Kyle Rudolph, but I, you know, hit that already. Man, we're getting to the nitty gritty. I guess if we're going to go with dirt cheap. And this is probably one of those guys that not many people will agree with me on, but Cole Beasley. I have a soft spot for Cole Beasley because, you know, he's just that, you know, that short slot receiver who's got a lot of sauce, and he comes out and he's been saying stuff like he didn't like the way that the Cowboys offense operated, and he likes his upside and the Bills offense better. And you know what? As much as Cowboys fans don't want to hear it, our offense is stagnant. It's not imaginative, and
I think it was.
To see what it looks like this year. It was new offensive coordinator. I am super pumped about that. So that could absolutely change. But Beasley's not wrong in what it was, and especially last year with him. I mean, we went from a year of he had 833 yards and 75 receptions in 2016, and then
dropped off a cliff.
Yeah, dropped off a cliff in 17. He had 314 yards. I mean, whoopty freaking do. And then last year he only had 672 yards, but there was like virtually no one else there for the first half of the season. They just didn't get him involved like they should have. And he's an electric player. Like I could see, he was Julian Edelman light, or he is. And he wasn't being utilized in that fashion. And so like, the dude makes circus catches. He has absolutely every ability to do what Edelman does. He just doesn't get asked to. So hopefully he can do that with the Bills. I am a little bit concerned about Josh Allen's accuracy in the short to intermediate range. But we'll see what happens. I mean, if he's excited about it, he's another guy who is absolutely free. He's 235. I mean, this is take this for what it's worth. His ADP and Rob Gronkowski's is the exact same.
He's going like 100 picks after John Brown, something close to that, 80-something picks after John Brown. We were just talking about Beasley the other day on the Open Bar podcast. Shout out to Peter Howard, Cole Beasley's doppelganger. it's crazy. So it's, you know, the offense should be improved. They brought in some other weapons. The tight ends are, you know, falling left and right. So Beasley could be a safety net for Josh Allen and what he does there for the entire year. And at ADP 256, what'd you say? I mean, you're going to
235.
Oh, there you go. You're going to get
256. That's his 235 was his average. 256. I mean, he's actually behind Rob Gronkowski. So it's we're talking about a guy who's retired, who's maybe going to come back, you know, scare quotes, maybe going to come back, versus a guy who's literally on the field with a team who's excited to use him in a position which, let's face it, he's probably not going to have a huge amount of competition in the slot.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. No doubt.
All right. So Matt brought up a tight end. I got one here. And another guy, injury issues year after year, it seems. And that's Jordan Reed. He turned 20. He's going to turn 29 in July. But last year, weeks 1 through 13, while he was healthy, he was tight end 8. Now, the tight end position is an ugly position for fantasy football, or at least it has been. So hopefully this rookie class can, in a year or two, start to solidify and right the tight end position across the board. But if you want consistency, if you want points, Jordan Reed could do that for you if he's healthy. 9.21 point, you know, PPR points per week. You look at that and you're like, that's not going to win me weeks, but it's not going to lose you weeks either. He's not what he used to be, obviously. At one point, Jordan Reed was this, you know, athletic freak. He could run faster than most linebackers of the defensive backs, the safeties and cornerbacks. He could jump, body him up. He could just use his size, his frame, and his athletic abilities to go up and make plays on footballs, especially in the red zone. And, you know, we saw that in 2015 with 11 touchdowns. So, you know, 54 catches last year, 558 yards over those 13 games. He only had 2 touchdowns. So if we would have seen that sort of production when it comes to the catching and yardage and just add in 2-3 more touchdowns, you're talking wide receiver like 4 or 5 at that point through those 13 weeks. So it's not too far off. Jordan Reed could get back there. And again, at his age, with his injury concerns, you could use those all as selling points to try to go out and get yourself Jordan Reed on a discount. So I still have plenty of guys on my list. Matt, how you doing? You just got a couple guys?
I do have a handful. Real fast, Jordan Reed, it almost feels like he's 38, right? I cannot believe he's only 28 years old. That is actually really surprising to me. I had to look at that twice.
His body is much older.
Yeah, he's 28 going on like 63.
He was a true difference maker for a while there. And 28 is not, I mean, it's not weird to think that he could actually be, fine, you know, tight end prime, right, is 28. Obviously, he's got a little bit of a different situation. But, man, easy guy to acquire. And I really like that a lot. It's a great call to him. But I do have just a handful more guys on my list. Quick, go ahead.
Last thing on Jordan Reed. The last 4 years, just on targets, 114, 89, 2017, he only played 6 games and saw 35 targets. Last year in 13 games, 84 targets. So if he can play a full 16 games at that pace, we're talking over 100 targets in that Washington offense. It's not going to be pretty, but he's going to compile. He's going to get the catch. He's going to get the yards, and hopefully the touchdowns come with it.
That's perfect. At an ADP of 190, DeSean Jackson, back in Philadelphia, 32 years old, but he's always been a little bit different anyways how he plays. I wish I would have had this written down or prepared, but the first like 4 weeks of last year, he was like wide receiver 2 or 3 or something silly like that when he was with Fitzpatrick to start off last season. He still got it. He's still a football player. He's still a competitor. He's back in Philadelphia, which he wanted to go to anyways, right? I love Carson Wentz. Why couldn't he be, you know, big play touchdown every other week, a handful of the catches in between? And at ADP 190, man, give me that. He ends up being like your wide receiver 6 or 7 or something like that as you're, you know, you're starting up your ADP. That's easy money, man. So I'll take DeSean Jackson at that ADP right now.
The first 2 weeks of the season, he was wide receiver 3. At week 3, he's wide receiver 7 overall in PPR points.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And everything I'm hearing from the Philly mini camps and summer workouts is Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson just absolutely love each other. It's going to, you know, just be beautiful music all year long. I'm a bit pessimistic about that, obviously, with the all year long thing. But we saw not last year, but the year before when the Eagles actually had a true field stretcher. And I cannot think in the past 10, 12, maybe even 15 years of someone other than DeSean Jackson, who's just a true field stretcher. I mean, Tyreek Hill has that DeSean Jackson element to him, but Tyreek Hill, I think, does a lot more than just what DeSean does. DeSean is just the true send him deep, and he's going to beat the coverage 8 out of 10 times because he just has that little extra gear where I don't know what he does. He kind of lures guys to sleep, and all of a sudden he's by you, and that ball's in the air, and the, you know, it's too late. You can't do nothing about it. So DeSean, back where he wanted to be, he has a quarterback who really likes him, and from everything I'm seeing, DeSean's really grown up since the last time he was in this city. So
oh, absolutely. there's a huge difference between his attitude then and now. He's a true veteran now. I mean, we're talking this is a point of the podcast where we're talking about guys who I would love to see have a resurgence. You know, the ones that were kind of, you know, just silent fans of. They're like, oh yeah, I really hope he does something. And there's always the potential, but we know that there's a reason that these guys take a little bit of a drop in value at this age. It's because, you know, their production falls off. Their bodies are starting to, you know, give up on them. A guy like that I'll mention that I may not be acquiring for much, but if he's virtually free, Randall Cobb. You know, I just talked about Cole Beasley, and there's targets vacated where Cobb could step in the slot. And man, I always loved watching him play. He's got that ability that's much bigger than a slot player. He can play on the outside, but I think that he is better suited for a little less demand in his position. And so I'd like to see him played situationally. I hope that he's healthy and able to stay healthy, because I mean, he's just one of my favorite players. Always has been. He's just hasn't been fantasy relevant for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I think that he's probably past the point of relevance. I think we've seen the best days of Randall Cobb, honestly. Yeah,
absolutely. But. And that stinks, because there's a lot of players that we're getting to see their, you know, their swan songs. And it's kind of cool to see them get a second contract or third contract somewhere else. But a lot of times we know that that's a death knell for their fantasy value, if not for their NFL career. So there's been a lot of those retirements, and it's just time to move on for the next guys.
Yep. That's the great thing about it, is every year there's a new crop, and some of these guys step in and fill these shoes, and some of these guys are going to be the guys that in another 2-3 years are going to be like, hey, remember, you know, such and such guy, we were so high on him in this class. And look where we went. We're taking him early second.
Yep. That's always to fun too.
Yeah. So here's a guy that, I mean, I'll say 14, 15 months ago, people were in love with him because of where he was and what it seemed like this team was starting to do. And then the Cleveland Browns went and drafted Nick Chubb, and that's Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde, for, you know, whatever the actual reason was that, you know, obviously it was Nick Chubb, I guess, but it seems like he fell out of favor in Cleveland, and they kind of just shipped him off to Jacksonville, and now he's in Kansas City. But before Nick Chubb took over, Carlos Hyde was the RB8 in PPR scoring the first 4 weeks of the season. He's going to be 29 in September. He is in a backup role now there in Kansas City. But if Damian Williams does not hold up, Carlos Hyde has the ability to just immediately step in and be a workhorse type running back. He can catch the football. He obviously can run between the tackles. He can do it all as a running back. He can pass protect. There's nothing that Carlos Hyde can't do on an NFL football field that an NFL team wouldn't like. There's better runners in the league than he is. There's better pass catchers in the league than he is. There's probably even better pass blockers in the league than he is. But he does them all well enough to the point where you can put him out there. You can trust him. He doesn't have fumbling issues. And he's going to be a guy you can get for dirt cheap right now, especially if you're that Damian Williams owner. Go get Carlos Hyde on your team, because he might not be as dynamic and might not put up the same amount of points week in and week out, but you're going to soften the blow that losing a guy like that would be if you have Carlos Hyde right there on your roster. You just immediately fill that position up.
You know, that's me gagging a little bit, because you just said something that I hadn't realized, and I have Damian Williams in a league. I traded for him in a kind of a blockbuster trade earlier, and I am now realizing that I really should go out and handcuff, because Hyde is, as much as I dislike him as a fantasy player, he's not going to lose the game for you. He's not going to, you know, lose the game for Kansas City, and so he will be serviceable if he's given the opportunity. If he's not replaced, some other, you know, player that comes up out of nowhere. But I doubt we see someone like that, you know, maybe unless like Adrian Peterson hits the market and they sign him or something like that. He's probably not going to be usurped.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm in that same boat. I've never been that Carlos Hyde guy. He's never been my dude that I needed to go get on my teams. But I look at him now and his price tag and think, what if, just look at the depth charts and say, okay, this is the, you know, projected week one starting lineup for these teams. If I can't get these pieces, or I think, you know, I feel that the price tag's too much to go out and get the Williams, what's it going to cost me to get his backup? Because how often do running backs get hurt? And what's the production I can potentially see out of this backup? And if you look at all 32 teams' backups, Carlos Hyde is in the top 8, 5 possibly of NFL backups. So I think with his price tag and his potential, if something goes wrong in Kansas City, then, you know, what they're projecting to start at week one, Carlos Hyde is going to, for what he cost you, be a godsend when it comes to his fantasy production.
What's interesting too, it kind of reminds me of what we're talking about, Lamar Miller and Donta Foreman. The Foreman hype, watching Darwin Thompson just get more and more praise, you know, pre-camp and before we even get into it, that you might be able to do Darwin Thompson plus, you know, something small, random or whatever, and go up and upgrade and get you Carlos Hyde, which is the better handcuff to have if you're the Damian Williams owner, or even if you're not a Damian Williams owner and you don't trust Damian Williams. So Hyde is extremely cheap, and he is almost forgotten about in KC.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Matt, back to you. You got anybody else?
We can dabble back in the quarterbacks a little bit, but, you know, I was talking about Marvin Jones a little bit, and part of that is Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's ADP in single quarterbacks is 188. He's 31 years old. He obviously had probably his worst year last year. I don't know statistically. It felt like it anyways, if it wasn't. But he was gold the previous 4 years in a row, I think, something like that. And he never gets the credit he deserves. Easily, you know, I think he has a bounce back year. I'm hoping for that anyways. And in turn, Galladay benefits, Jones benefits, the whole offense benefits. But Stafford is fairly easy to acquire. He doesn't, you know, he's not getting a whole lot of respect. And 31 years old, it feels like he's older than that. He's another one of those guys that feels like he's been in the league longer than that. He could easily play another 8-9 years, and you could feel completely okay with starting him week to week. So Stafford, extremely cheap, and he would be somebody I'd be okay starting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're talking about a guy that was considered the top quarterback in his class when he came out. He dealt with some minor injury things early on in his career, and I know some people were very wary about that early on. But the past, 6 years, he's played all 16 games. He had his second best completion percentage over that same span last year. The yardage was down. The touchdowns were down. And I think that's really the biggest thing. But remember, he had his number one and number two targets either get traded or get injured throughout the year, at least to start the season, his one and two. Kenny Galladay, I stepped up as best he could, and we'll see how he does this year. Is he's really going to be, you know, that number one target there. But yeah, I love Matt Stafford's skills and ability. So if you can get him on the cheap, yeah, that's another guy I'd love to get my hands on for sure. Justin, are you out, or you still got anybody else you want to bring up?
I mean, if we're going to talk quarterbacks, like, I still like guys like Kirk Cousins at this spot. He's got an ADP of 143, a little bit behind guys like Cam Newton, but he's still got the ability to finish in that kind of same ballpark, the back end quarterback one, and it shouldn't cost you a ton. I think quarterbacks are one of those positions that in single quarterback leagues, it absolutely 100% makes sense to wait. And I know there are people that advocate for that in Superflex. I like to, you know, go high and go low. And so if you wait a little bit, or the quarterback run, you know, hits you, and you know, you're sitting a little bit behind this with your current roster, he's one that you might be able to get for less than what you would expect to spend for a guy who's only 30 years old.
Yeah. All right. So I'll stick with the quarterback position, and I'm going to make Matt happy here. What if I told you I can get you a quarterback that was in the top 20 last year, and his leading receiver was a running back, followed by a tight end, followed by a very, very old receiver. And all this offense has done is add pieces to it this offseason that make me think it's only, you know, thumbs up for this offense. That's Derek Carr. Derek Carr's 28. When's his birthday? He turned 28 in March, so he's a newly minted 28-year-old. But he was quarterback 17 last year, and the offense has gotten better in my book.
Oh, absolutely.
Jalen Richard led the team in receptions last year, followed by Jared Cook, and then Jordy Nelson. I mean, he now has Antonio Stinkin' Brown on this team.
Yeah.
I think that Derek Carr is set up to have maybe not a career year, but along those lines, he's going to get back to the Derek Carr that I fell in love with a few years ago, where he can flirt with, you know, 4,500 yards potentially, mid to high 30s in the touchdowns, and that's going to get him into the QB 7-8 discussion there. And if you're getting him at like QB 7, you know, 17 prices as he was last year, potentially even lower, because there are some people out there that just have hatred for Derek Carr. So I'm buying Derek Carr in all the places I don't already own him.
I think one of the most underrated stats, and there's not going to find this in any stat sheet, but this is he's going into his second year with Gruden, which is a big deal. I mean, it's definitely documented. Gruden has a very complex system. It's very hard to get down. I didn't expect the year one. I know a lot of people around here were expecting year one to be, you know, this complete turnaround. I felt like it was going to take a while. Obviously, the weapons, you just listed them off. I felt like his fourth best receiver was Seth Roberts, which go back to Justin doing the gagging deal. But I mean, it was
Seth,
ugly
Seth
last
Roberts
year.
Roberts had the fourth most catches on the team last year.
See, I mean, he was the most reliable, one of the most reliable receivers we had, which is disgusting. So Carr doesn't get enough respect. I love the guy, period. I live in Fresno, so I'm also a Fresno State guy. So him going to Oakland was perfect, and everyone around here loves him. Rest of the country, you know, they pretty much throw him to the wayside. So unless you're living in Oakland trying to, you know, trade for Derek Carr, you can almost get him everywhere else. You're 100% right, and I love it.
One of the biggest knocks on Derek Carr early in his career was his yards per attempt. And last year he had his highest yards per attempt for his career at 7.3, and he also had his high for his career in completion percentage. So we've seen his yards per attempt go up, and somehow the completion percentage also went up. So not only is he throwing further down the field when he throws, he's throwing more accurate and catchable passes. So you got to love that, seeing him mature. And we've talked about this over and over. With these skill position guys, their athletic prime is between the ages of like 25 and 28. So these guys are that we're talking about at the skill position are right at the end, right at the tail of that athletic dominance of their life, where the quarterback position for most quarterbacks doesn't rely so much on your athleticism than it does on your, you know, what's between your ears and the cerebral nature of the position. So as these quarterbacks grow, if they can make it last 5-6 years in, you really start to get a feel for this game, a grasp for this game, what you're seeing across the line of scrimmage before the ball's snapped. You're making those sort of reads and you're able to just start dissecting defenses apart. And I don't know if Derek Carr is ever going to turn into, you know, the Peyton Manning type where he's just out there audibling 3 or 4 times, just confusing the hell out of defenses. But I think we're seeing that growth out of Derek Carr now, where he's seen every team, every scheme a couple times now. Nothing surprising this kid anymore. And I like that out of him. So I love Derek Carr. I have since he left Fresno State. I thought he was one of the best quarterbacks in his class coming out. So, yeah. And like Matt said, it seems like everybody has a distaste for him. So if he's not on your team, you can probably get him on a pretty good discount.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt. Give us one more.
I have two guys here. Maybe I can do an honorable mention. But this one, I'm not going to feel comfortable saying it, but it's one of those deals because that tight end position is so gross, because everyone hates Mariota, because now a lot of people hate Corey Davis and now hate A.J. Brown landing there and everything else. Well, prior to last year, Delanie Walker had 3 top 5 finishes in a row, I believe. He missed all of last season. He's 34 years old, so he's no spring chicken. But he's gold in that offense. Mariota throws to him. I mean, it feels like that's he's the most targeted guy. I feel like the three previous years before that, and that was obviously pre-A.J. Brown and you got Humphreys in there now and all that stuff. But give me old reliable on, you know, if I'm a contender, if I need a tight end, if I need somebody to help fill that spot, if he's healthy, he's an easy start. So, I mean, Dynasty or ADP 186, he's going four rounds after Vance McDonald, who we just talked about. Could be a gold play there, so I'd take Delanie Walker.
All right, Justin, anybody real quick?
Nah, man, I'm out. There's everybody else is just such a projection and a hope. You know, there's some dirt cheap guys like Andy Dalton that you can get as a, you know, just a prayer that he returns some value. That's the thing at this point. We've talked about most of the guys that have much of a value in the sense of a bargain. I mean, there's some guys that are over 28 that you really want that are still left. We haven't talked about, you know, the Zach Ertzes, the Thielens, T.Y. Hilton. These are the guys that, you know, there's still a little bit of meat on the bone and other people know it too. So they're not necessarily a bargain.
That's my honorable mention. I was going to know, but Edelman's 33. He's obviously a fantastic player. But his ADP is at the end of the fifth round, and that just seems too rich for me, I guess, when at that point he's like your wide receiver two or three. Yeah, it depends on how, you know, how that draft's going or whatever. But if it was like two rounds later, I'd be all in on that. It just feels a little too rich.
If it was a redraft league, I think I'd be comfortable with Edelman there.
No doubt.
Wide receiver two for this year. But, yeah, not in dynasty purposes.
Yeah.
So, all right. This is potentially just the last gasp of a career, the last gasp of a dart throw, and that's Josh Gordon. He turned 28 in April. I mean, if you've held on to Josh Gordon through all of this, holy hell. Like, who else you got in your roster? I mean, who else are you willing to hold on to? I mean, this guy at one point, what he was putting on film looked like he was going to be the absolute best receiver in the league easily at one point. And he's battled these demons over and over and over again. He seems to win for a bit and then he kind of slips back. And anybody that has ever dealt with it or had a loved one that's dealt with substance abuse knows this struggle. So for Josh Gordon, the person, I hope he finds a way to win this battle. And if we never see him on a field again, that's fine. But if he ever makes it back to the field, this guy has the physical abilities to be fantastic. And you're going to get him for nothing. You can find him on waiver wires. You can give away a fourth round pick just to get him. And you never know, because it does seem like the Pats have some sort of thought, at least, that he could potentially be part of their plans for this year. And I'm willing to at least take that risk and kind of believe the Pats a little bit there. So
actually, I'll go ahead and cross him off my list for keeping him on board and sticking with him through this, because there's not enough of that in business in general, of people sticking with people through a tough time. So it's nice to see them do it. I know that it's not completely altruistic. They have the potential to get a guy that's a game changer back for them, but they also know that there's a very high likelihood that he never plays another snap.
Yeah. And nothing against the Browns either. I think the Browns for years stuck it out because they realized what they had in Josh Gordon, the football player. They just, you know, they needed Josh Gordon, the man, to turn his stuff around and get himself straight.
Could you imagine Josh Gordon pulling it together, playing a healthy year, dominating, and making N'Keal Harry look like a rookie and just watching Twitter blow up because Gordon just steals the show and, you know, everyone would just be losing their minds. That'd be actually fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's literally on waiver wires in leagues right now. And if he were to play a full healthy season, and he doesn't have to be what he was, what was that, like 2015, 2014, when he just went bonkers. But if he was three quarters of that, or just flash that in four or five moments throughout the season, he has one of those Corey Davis flashes that everybody just remembers. It's a Monday night or a Thursday night game where the entire country's watching, and Josh Gordon makes three or four just fantastic plays, scores twice, all of a sudden Josh Gordon's stock is going to skyrocket. It's going to go through the roof. People are going to be on fire over him. So, again, we hope Josh Gordon, the man, does well and grows and beats whatever devils he's fighting. And we'd love to see you back on the field, Josh. But I had a couple more on my list. Obviously, Justin kind of mentioned that most of these guys are those bigger names. And if I was trying to buy, I would have to try to use the age to hopefully get the discount here. But that's Russell Wilson, T.Y. Hilton, Adam Thielen. He's going to be 29 in August. Obviously, we all know he just was bonkers to start last year. And then David Johnson. Let's not forget, David Johnson's going to be 28 in December. You could definitely go out there and make that case when you're trying to sell or buy David Johnson. You know, so that was my list. One last time, wanted to thank Trophy Smack, the Sit or Start app, the Ultimate Draft Kit, the Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit. The link will be in the podcast bio. So if you were interested in the greatest redraft draft kit, go check out that link, click it, go over there, buy it, show them we sent you. It's a great, great tool for redraft. I know they have an app this year, and I'll tell you what, I haven't checked this year's out yet, but if it's anything like last year's, and if I know the footballers and I know them well enough, they don't do the same thing over and over. They grow, they get better. So I look forward to checking out this year's as well. So go check that out. I want to thank my co-host Matt and Justin. Thank you guys very much for joining us. Go over to DynastyHappyHour.com for the rankings. We got the trade analyzer coming out soon. Join us on Patreon. We have the cheap merchandise. We're getting the Patreons t-shirts of their own. We just started a Patreon fantasy league, Dynasty League. I built that, and we just got done our draft. We're actually going to discuss that a little bit on the Patreon episode this week. So, guys, until next week, reach out to Tyler and Doug. Make sure they're doing okay, because I don't know where either one are this week. I think they're, you know, I mean, they're both like in a hole somewhere.
Holiday or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like they're both dads or something taking the day off. I don't know. guys, we'll talk to you guys next week right here on the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.